Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Just one question for Tom. How many children do I have, Tom? Okay, all right. You can see I'm not going to let that one go. Not too easily.
Have you got four and two adults?
Well, yeah, kind of technically, Rennie, what's the matter with you? All right. How are we feeling? Are we feeling refreshed? Are we? See, I didn't go as long as I could have, even though there was someone who says that I preach too long sometimes. Another dig at Tama. We had some time, extra time for some fellowship out there. Keep the questions going and just be very mindful as well that I'm one parent. So I have a mic here at the moment. I'm one parent of many that are here. And so I do encourage you in this time and in between times to actually, if you have questions, it doesn't just need to necessarily come to the speakers as such. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to get myself out of work. Maybe I am. But anyway, just go to each other. You know, ask some of the ones that have been parenting for longer than you have, and ask about some of the things that have been discussed here, because you're going to find that God tends to work in his body. You know, certainly there's a place for pulpit ministry, and there's also a place for just that one anothering as we're talking to one another. So be encouraged to do that. Take a risk. You know, share something that might be heavy on your heart, something that you're going through at the moment, perhaps maybe an area of counsel, advice that you need, and just share that with someone else and see. I think you'd be surprised at how God can encourage you in those times as well. So. And we're going to look at now the second session, the family and the church. The family and the church, reclaiming the centrality of the local church in raising our children. That is the subject matter before us, so let's just open with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, thank you so far for being able to help to just refresh our thoughts on the gift of parenting, the privilege, the responsibility, yes, the difficulties and the danger, but also the hope that we have that you are with us, that you are in us, that when we fail, we look to Christ, not ourselves, and that he empowers us because we're united together with him through the gospel. And so we know that we can keep on persevering because of this hope that we have. We ask that you'd give us clarity now and help us to be attentive as we come to the second session on the second subject matter of the family and the church and how those two things, those two separate institutions are to interact with one another, not in a way that overreaches into the other, into one another, but in a very complementary way. And so, Lord, help us to think this through together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the first session, what did we do? The first session, we spent time considering the call to faithful parenting. And really what we saw in that is that raising children is not just about getting through the day, but the big picture is that it's actually about shaping souls. It's about stewarding lives that have been ultimately given by God. But you see, once we begin to understand this, once our minds are refreshed about this, there's something else very important that we need to incorporate into our thinking. And that simply is, we were never meant to do that alone. We were never meant to do it alone. Parenting was never designed to be an isolated task that only ever happens within the four walls of our own home. And yet, when we think about it, sometimes this is how parenting can function. We can begin to think that our family is just its little unit. It's self-contained. It's self-sufficient. And that it's all up to us as parents to kind of carry the full weight of raising our children on our own. But this is the thing we have to understand. That is not how God designed it to be. Instead, God has given to us an incredibly precious gift to actually support our calling and our responsibility as parents. What is that precious thing that he's given to us? God has given to us the local church. Now, when we're talking about the local church, we're not just talking about something that we attend. We're not talking about something that we just kind of jam in or fit into our week when it suits us. But we're talking about something that is meant to be central to our lives and central to how it is that we raise our children. But the challenge, I think, is that in the busyness of life, the local church, it easily becomes one thing among many. It's just another commitment, another time slot, something else that we've got to try to squeeze in amongst everything else. And slowly what tends to happen is that without even realizing it, the local church, it moves from being central to now something that is just optional. But if we take a step back and we think about this, especially when we think about the responsibilities of evangelism and discipleship, what we're doing in the home and what God is doing in the church, these are not two separate things. These are actually meant to be working together. Your parenting and the life of the church, they are intended by God to be deeply connected. And really, that's what this session now is going to be all about. It's really about reclaiming the centrality of the local church when it comes to raising our children. Not in a way that replaces the parents' role, but in a way that actually strengthens their role, complements their role. In this session, we're going to look at just three real things, three things that really relate to this very subject matter before us. We're going to look firstly at the priority of a family's involvement within the local church. Secondly, we're going to look at the partnership between the family and the church. And then thirdly, we're going to look at the practicalities of what can this actually look like in everyday life. The priority, the partnership, the practicalities. Because at the end of the day, what you believe about the local church, well, that's going to determine how you build your life around the local church. If the local church to you is not something central in your life, don't think that it's going to somehow become central in your children's lives either. How you treat the local church will be how it is that your children treat the local church. Because ultimately, what we prioritize in our lives, it'll inevitably be passed on down to those within our homes. And so the question before us this morning really isn't, do we go to church? But the real question before us is the life of the church really shaping the life of our family? It's with this in mind, let us begin firstly by considering the priority of a family's involvement within the local church. You see, if we're going to think rightly between the family and the church, this is the place that we actually need to start. We need to start with the firm biblical truth that the local church is not optional. It's simply not. It's not something that we add into our lives when it suits us, but instead we see from Scripture that this is something that God has clearly called us to prioritize. I mean, we can reference Hebrews 10 verses 24 to 25 in our minds, very familiar to us. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling together. In other words, gathering together with God's people. This is not just a good idea, but this is actually a God-given command. And by the way, it's given as a command for our good and for his glory. And when we start to think about it, in order to think about a stirring up of love, in order for there to be a stirring up of good works in the lives of one another, what's going to be required? Well, what's required is meaningful investment into the life of your local church. Meaningful investment so that you can both give that kind of encouragement, the love and the stirring up of good works, but also so that you can receive that kind of encouragement as well. But you see, this is where sometimes we can go subtly wrong, because even if we do attend church, it's really quite possible to attend church in a kind of tick-the-box kind of approach. We show up, we sit through the service, we head home, we get on with the rest of our week in mind thinking, I've done what it is that I've needed to do, tick the box. But we haven't really invested ourselves into it. We haven't really engaged with it. You know what? You can be sure that your children will pick up on that very, very quickly. Because they're going to begin to see the church not as something central, but just something else that you kind of slot into the weekly calendar. And part of the problem with that, I think, is that when we say local church, we unintentionally sometimes just reduce that to what we do on a Sunday morning. But as we know, the local church is more than just a weekly service. The local church is actually a community. The local church is a body of believers who are doing life together under the authority and under the guidance of the Word of God. It includes fellowship throughout the week. It includes the prayer meetings. It includes Bible studies. It includes hospitality within the home. It includes serving together, doing evangelism together, outreach together, forming discipleship relationships. It's a whole package. But when parents lean into that, do you know what happens? When we lean into our involvement within our local church, it becomes a tremendous help when it comes to raising our children. Because now our children are not just hearing about God from us and our home, but now they're starting to see a whole community of faith that are all living for Him. They're seeing different people, different ages, different personalities, all united around the Lord Jesus Christ. And what this does for the child is it really helps to enforce what it is that you're trying to teach them in your home. But here's the reality. You will only get that which you put in. If your involvement is minimal, the impact on your family will be minimal. If your engagement with your local church is shallow, it'll benefit your family in a way that is shallow. Now, think about this. The church is referred to in Scripture as a body, the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 12, we know how every member is to play their part. Every member is needed. Every member must be active, and they're to be so for the good of the whole. The eye needs the hand needs the foot. In other words, there's no part that can function properly in isolation. Sometimes we as families, we think that we can. We disengage. We stay on the edges of church life. We keep the local church at an arm's length, and somehow we expect that our families are still going to thrive spiritually. Think of 1 Corinthians 12. Is that even possible? The Bible would say, no, it's not. That's not how God designed it to be. We have to say it plainly. No family can flourish in isolation from the body of Christ. But let's be honest about something. I mean, this is not easy, is it? There are always going to be competing priorities within our lives. There's going to be things such as sport, recreation, social commitments, opportunities that we're wanting to give for our children. Now, don't get me wrong. None of those things are wrong in and of themselves. But very easily, they can begin to crowd out what really matters most. And so the question that we need to step back and really be asking ourselves is, are we giving our best time, our best energy to that which is most important, or are we giving it to that which is more immediate? Now, one of the practical shifts that we can make as parents is that instead of trying to fit church life into our schedules, we should instead build our schedule around church life. We start with thinking, what has God already clearly called us to that has said it's going to be for our good and for the good of our families? And then we start to work everything else around that. As parents, this is something where we would do very good to establish something very, very early on. You see, if parents can settle early on that worship on the Lord's Day is actually a non-negotiable, I'll tell you, it's going to clear and remove a lot of tension in the future. Because if you will settle on that very thing, when other things come up, you're not having to constantly evaluate or decide, what am I going to do? The decision has already been made. Church is not just one option among many, but the local church, it's a priority. And can I just say that I have seen the consequences of parents who have not done this. They've occasionally given themselves, let's call it, the Sunday off, to rest, to relax, to have a family outing, to spend time with friends or family who might be visiting from out of town. And the way that they rationalize it and reason with their family is that this is just an exception. This is just a one-off. But I tell you what, their children soon pick up on that. Because you know what they've been taught? They've been taught that gathering together with a local body, it's based upon their parents' discretion. Now, what this means practically is when there are going to be extracurricular type of activities that come up in the future, which, by the way, they most certainly will, when those extracurricular activities pop up in the future that clashes together with the Lord's Day, do you know what your children are going to do? Your children are going to press the parents for a discretionary pass. Can we, parent, have a discretionary pass from church? Now, why would they ask that? Why is that even on the table? Why is that even an option? Well, it's simply because that's what they've seen their parents do themselves in the past. And so, in other words, their involvement, the child sees their involvement within the local church as based upon something that is at their parents' discretion rather than being based upon what God has commanded. Can you see the issue with this? Parents, do yourself a favor. You know, avoid the pain and the frustration later on. Settle on that matter early, because what it does for your children is absolutely impactful. It teaches them not just by what you're saying, but it actually teaches them about how it is that you're living. You are teaching them, when you settle it, right at the very beginning there, right at the beginning of parenthood, to say, church is a priority. Yes, there is another extracurricular kind of thing that's happening outside of church, but they should actually be ashamed of themselves, whether they're believers or unbelievers, because this is the Lord's day. This is not the day. This is not the time for them to be running something that doesn't relate to what it is that God has commanded. And it teaches them, not just by what you're saying, but it teaches them by how you are living. It's teaching them that God is central. It's teaching them that God's people actually matter. And it's teaching them that the life of the church is not just something that you're going to be living on the edges of life, but instead the life of the church becomes the very center of it. Because again, the question is not, do I go to church? The real question is the life of the church helping to shape the life of my family? And let me say this. If we get this right, if the local church really is the central to our lives and the lives of our families, something remarkable begins to happen. Because now no longer it's just parents trying to raise their own children in isolation by themselves, but now you have the opportunity for both parents and the church to be working together in a complementary way, and that's exactly how it is that God intends for it to be. Well, having considered the priority of a family's involvement within the local church, let us next make the shift. Let us make a shift to the partnership between the family and the church. Now, parents, we need to make this connection. We need to make the connection that the local church is one of God's primary means to help us to fulfill our responsibility to evangelize and to disciple our children. We have to make that connection. Again, it doesn't replace the role of a parent. No one's saying that. It doesn't replace the role of a parent, but it comes alongside it. The local church complements it. The local church supports it. Now, you might be asking the question, well, how so? How does this partnership with the local church help me in the raising of my children? Well, let me give you five ways. And yes, these are five subpoints. Five ways the local church can help a parent as they partner together with it. Firstly, number one, the local church allows our children to see that their family's faith is part of something bigger. You see, at home, our children see Christianity just kind of lived out in one setting, and that's in the context of our own family. But when they are exposed time and time again to the church, well, they begin to see this is not just our family's thing. This is something that's bigger. They see other believers of ages, different ages, backgrounds, personalities, all loving Christ, all following Christ. They see other believers who are serving, other believers who belong together, who are other believers who are investing their time, their money, their giftedness for the sake of those who are outside of the home. They get to experience what it looks like essentially to be part of the body of Christ. And can I just say, that is powerful. It's powerful because it helps them to realize this is not just something that mum and dad believe. This is real. This is alive. This is active. This is dynamic. This is shared, and it's far bigger than just our own family. But a second way a local church can help with the raising of our children is that the local church allows our children to experience their parents' example in what it means to worship God. The local church allows our children to experience their parents' example in what it means to worship God. And can I just say this, parents? This is such a significant opportunity. Because you see, even before a child is old enough to actually understand everything that's actually happening around them, do you know what they're learning? They're learning what it means to respond to God. Even before they can understand all that has been talked about within a service, they are being discipled through what it is that they see in your example. Because think about it. Your children see how it is that you prepare for corporate worship. They see whether Sunday morning is rushed, chaotic, squeezed in, or whether it's something that's thought about, structured, intentional, prioritized. They see whether you're arriving late for worship, whether arriving early or late actually matters to you, or do you arrive early and on time, or do you just drift in late? Do you drift in distracted? They see that. You hope that the pastor doesn't see that. Sometimes they don't. Actually, we always do. But anyway, your children are going to see it. Your children see your posture as the worship gathering begins. When the call to worship is given, they're looking. Is mum engaged? Is dad attentive? Or is there thinking elsewhere? Your children see the way that you sing. Not just the words that you sing, but they see the heart behind it. They see whether you're singing intentionally, wholeheartedly, whether you're sitting there or whether you're sitting there just disengaged, disinterested, passively, hands in the pocket, kind of looking around. And you know what it's teaching our children when they see the way we're engaging in worship and song? It's teaching them, this is how much this God is worth to my parents. They're looking at us during corporate prayer. As prayers are being led, they're seeing whether we're there quietly agreeing, engaging, or whether our mind is elsewhere. They see how it is that we treat the Word of God. When we open our Bibles, when the Bible, when the reading is being read and you're following along attentively in what is being read, they see whether or not you're looking and listening to the Word of God as it's being preached actively and engaged, hoping and expecting to hear from God through a human vessel. They see whether you're leaning into that which is happening through the Word, or whether you're looking around, or even worse, scrolling on your phone. They see your posture when it comes to the Lord's Supper. They see the quiet reverence. They see the reflection. They can sense the confession taking place. They can see the gratitude of their parents. And they may not always understand what all of this means at the time. But what they're learning is this matters. This matters to mum and dad. And here's the point, even if your child cannot grasp the content, let me tell you, they are being discipled and they are being shaped by your example. Because children don't just learn by the instruction that you give to them. They also learn by observation. They learn by imitation. And the local church gives children a front row seat to see your relationship with God in action in a corporate setting. But you see, of course, this church doesn't stop at Sunday morning. This example extends to the whole of church life. It extends to the prayer meetings, the Bible studies, the serving, your involvement in outreach. They begin to see and understand that following Jesus Christ is not just something that mum and dad speak about at home, but this is something that they live in amongst other people. Well, a third way that a local church can help in the raising of our children is that the local church allows our children to be under the means of grace. Oh, is this important or what? It allows for them to be under the very means of grace. There's something that we need to understand clearly. As we said in the first session, it is only God who can save. It's only God who can change, God willing, our children's hearts. We cannot produce a saving faith within our children. And yet, at the same time, God has told us how he works. God works through means. He works through prayer. He works through his word. He works through the proclamation of the gospel. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. God uses his word spoken through his people to bring about a saving faith. And so the question I have for us parents is simply this: where is the word most consistently proclaimed? It's proclaimed in the life of the church. When your children are part of the church, listen to this, they are being placed again and again and again and again under the very means that God uses to change a human heart, to save a human heart. As they listen to the scriptures that are read, as they hear the gospel explained, as they hear Christ held out before them week after week, as they hear the truth of scripture applied to the heart. And what's more, it's not just coming from one voice. It's coming from many. It's coming from the pastors. It's coming from the elders. It's coming from other mature believers. They're all doing the same thing, different ways, but it's the same thing. And it's pointing our children to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we see what this means? It means that the local church is not just another Christian activity. It's not just something that we attend with a tick-the-box kind of approach. But it's a place where God's appointed means are actually at work. The local church is a place where hearts are being shaped. It's a place where faith is being formed. It's a place where your child is being exposed again and again to the very instruments that God uses to save. Parents, think about this. Think about what a tremendous privilege that is. Because this means that outside of your home, you're able to bring your children face to face with the Lord Jesus every single week. However, there's something we need to be careful about here as well. It's careful as parents. We need to think about this. Given that the word is primarily preached by the pastors and the elders within your local church, it's very mindful how it is that you as parents speak about them to your children. Because here's the real temptation. The real temptation of the human heart is to be critical of leaders in general, but critical specifically to leaders within the church. There's a real temptation to let our children hear us continually pointing out their faults, to speak casually, negatively about the church leaders. Now, let's be clear, church leaders are not without fault. Speak to my wife, go next door and speak to my children. They'll help you to understand that, if you don't know that already. They're not without fault. We are imperfect men, but, and here's the but, if our children regularly hear us tearing those leaders down, let me tell you, it will shape the way that they see them. And here's the danger that sometimes parents just don't get. And, oh, I've seen this time and time again. If a child begins to think negatively about the messenger, How does it affect the way that they receive the message? In other words, if they lose respect for the one who is preaching, they may begin to tune out of that which is being preached. It's going to negatively impact their willingness to hear the very word of God, the very word that can save their heart. And so parents, we need to make this connection. We need to be careful on how it is that we speak about church leaders, because the way that we speak about them will either help them to listen to the word of God, or it will hinder them from hearing the word of God. This is why the scriptures tell us, like in particular, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. What does it say? It says, recognize those who labor among you and to esteem them highly, very highly, in love. Why? For their work's sake. You see, if anything, we should be intentional with our children in building respect to those leaders, encouraging attentiveness to those leaders, helping our children see these are the men that God is actually using to speak his very word to us. Again, not ignoring their faults, but be very, very wise in how it is that we speak, lest our children become hindered from hearing and responding to the word of God. Well, in addition to exposing them to the means of grace, a fourth way that the local church can help in the raising of our children is that the local church allows our children to receive help from the wider body of Christ. They receive help from the wider body of Christ. In other words, your children are not just being shaped by you as parents, but being plugged into the local church in a meaningful kind of way, it also gives to them the opportunity to be shaped by the people who are around them. You're connecting your family to the life of a church in a meaningful kind of way, and when you do, relationships are going to form. You're going to have relationships with older believers, more spiritually mature men and women, people who can speak into your children's lives that are deeply helpful. And because this actually becomes increasingly important as your children get older. It really does, especially as they start to lead into their teenage years, especially as they lead into the years of adulthood. Because while parents play a critical role in the life of their children, while they play an irreplaceable role in the life of their children, parents, this is what we need to understand. We don't possess the totality of everything that our child will need across that entire span of their childhood. How so? Well, no parent among us has every gifting. No parent among us has every strength. No parent among us has the same influence on every single aspect of our child's life. And look, that is not a weakness. That's not a weakness in terms of God's design. That's actually part of his design. How so? Well, because God never intended parenting to happen in isolation. He designed the Christian life to be lived out in the context of a body where there are many members, where every part is doing their share, so that the body of Christ collectively can be built up. And that's a direct benefit to our children, because it's utilizing, it's calling upon the collective strength of that local body. They may hear something from another mature believer that lands well in a way that maybe it didn't land all that well for you. Not because your voice doesn't matter, but because the nature of the church, the body of Christ, you have God using different voices, different people in different ways. I mean, cross-reference Titus 2 in your thinking. You have older men with younger men, older women with younger women, life on life influence, wisdom that's being passed down, examples that are being modeled. Think about what a gift that is to our children. Now, of course, when the children are younger, like very young, most of what they need is going to come directly from their parents. You might try to outsource the changing of nappies, you know. You know what, Jack? I don't know if I have that special gifting to change dirty nappies on a Sunday morning. Any with the body, any strengths here in the body that would like to take that on? You can try that. And I know at least one person in this room has done that, and I did follow through, and I don't have a gift of changing nappies, but I will. When they're young, mostly our parents are going, the parents can provide that which their children need at those very early and formative years, but as they grow, they increasingly benefit from a wider circle of influence, from a broader network of encouragement, from a deeper pool of spiritual input. And so the question, I think, for us as parents is, are we making room for that? Are we making room for it? Are we positioning our children and our family in such a way where they have opportunity to build meaningful relationships in the church, or are we unintentionally keeping them at a distance? Are we, as our family, always in our own lane, never really connected, never really known, because if we're not careful, we may be present at church, but we may not be participating in the life of the church. And I'll tell you this, if that happens, your children will miss out. Now, of course, there's also another side to this, right? This is not just a call to parents, this is a call to the whole church. Because the responsibility doesn't just sit with the families, it sits with the whole body. Let me ask this question of you. How intentional are you when it comes to engaging with the next generation? Do you even know their names? Do you know what their interests are? Do you intentionally take interest in their lives? Do you seek to find ways to encourage them? Do you take opportunities to point them to Christ? Or do you just see them running around and go, yeah, that's the parents' responsibility. I'll go and talk to someone who's more mature like me. Because part of what it means to be the church is to take responsibility for one another. And in case you're wondering, that includes the younger generation among us. Your encouragement, your example, your influence, your conversations may be just one of the very means that God uses to strengthen that person's faith. And so parents, lean into the body. Don't try to do this alone. And on the other hand, as a church, let us step toward the next generation. Let us not just stay at a distance, because God has designed it this way, that together we would collectively, in different ways, of course, help to disciple and raise up this next generation to follow Christ. A fifth way. A fifth way that the local church can help a parent in terms of their raising of their children. A fifth way is the local church allows children to learn how to deal with difficult people. Is that relevant? Why put that in there, Jason? Well, I think it's going to become increasingly clear. The local church allows children to deal with difficult people. We need to see this clearly. You see, difficult people, strained relationships in our local body, that doesn't actually work against the discipleship of our children. It actually works for it. Because the reality is that life that involves people is difficult, and so is the church. You know, wherever you have people seeking to do life together, there's going to be differences, there's going to be misunderstandings, there's going to be conflict which arises, and that's not something that we need to go looking for. Right? We don't have to go looking for it. I wonder where I can find some conflict or some strained relationships in my local church so that I can help to disciple my children. We don't need to go looking for that. Just sit, wait, be present. That'll come to you on its own. Now, what does much of church life do today? What does church culture do today when difficulty arises? Immediately what they do is their immediate instinct is to leave. Their immediate instinct is to pull back, disengage, hit the eject button at the very first sign of conflict. But the question is, what does Scripture tell us to do? The Christian life is to be marked with things as bearing with one another, forgiving one another, pursuing unity with one another, working through difficulties with others in a God-honoring way. Now let me ask the question, where are your children going to learn that? It's not just by being told at home, hypothetically, if you ever come into a difficult situation, this is what we do. But where they learn this, they learn it by seeing it lived out. This seeing how we respond when someone is clearly frustrating us. That they see and hear how it is that we speak about a person when we have clearly been wronged. They watch to see, does mum and dad stay committed? Do they carry on pursuing unity? Or do they quietly withdraw? And through that, they are learning. Our children are learning what it means to follow Christ in real relationships within the church, because here's the reality. The reality is that if our children, God willing, come to faith, and if they become meaningfully connected into a local church body, they too will one day experience difficulty. They will one day encounter people who are hard to love. In fact, they'll have to one day love the unlovable. I'm not talking about any of you here today. They're going to experience tension. And when that happens in their own lives, they have to ask themselves a question, what am I going to do? Am I going to pull away, or am I going to work through this? And let me drive home this point. What they've seen in your example, that will really determine what answer they give to that question. When it comes to helping our children think through conflict, when we guide them through how to respond, when we model patience, humility, forbearance, forgiveness, we are preparing them for a life in real church and life in general. And it happens when they're young. Just in the small things, little squabbles outside with other children, other little misunderstandings that will come about, moments where things don't go exactly the way that they want to. Those are not interruptions. Those are moments for discipleship, opportunities for discipleship. And so we would do well as parents that instead of trying to shield our children from every single difficulty in life, that we would instead help them to walk through those difficulties. Because if God uses even these very moments to shape them into the people that he wants them to be, people that love well, stay committed to Christ, stay committed to a church even when it's hard, we need to have them engaged in a local church where they have the opportunity to do that. We are not just helping our children when we bring them into the church and to experience real church life here in the present. We're actually preparing them for whatever the future might hold as well. Well, having considered the priority of a family's involvement within the local church, having considered the partnership between the family and the church, and there were five sub-points there that we addressed there, is how the local church can help you in your child rearing. Well, we're going to finish now with the practicalities. The practicalities of what can this look like in everyday life. And what I want to do here is I want to break it into two simple areas, okay? So now we've got two sub-points here. We want to break it into preparation, number one, and we want to break it into participation, number two. As we're thinking about the practicalities of what the church and the family life should look like together, preparation, number one, participation, number two. And so starting with preparation, how do we prepare? How do we prepare our children? Well, more specifically, I want to talk specifically on preparation for worship on the Lord's Day. Preparation for worship on the Lord's Day. How do we prepare our children? And I want to break this sub-point. I want to break this sub-point into four key areas. I love my points. Four key areas about how parents can think. Four key areas under preparation, four key areas of how parents can think when it comes to preparing their children for corporate worship on the Lord's Day. That the first is simply this. Teach your children to sit quietly during the service. I want to be clear about something. Teaching your child to sit quietly during the service, it's not going to result in anything spiritual in and of itself. It won't. But what it will do is it will teach them self-control. And what that does is that it creates space for them to hopefully, God willing, by God's grace, hear the word of God eventually. The goal is not just behavioral. We're not just sort of teach your kids to sit still because it makes it look like you're good or you're a good parent. That is not the point. Not merely behavioral, but when we're teaching our children self-control from a very young age, the goal is removing distractions so that they can eventually get to a point where they can benefit from what's happening on the Lord's Day. Now, where does this happen? Where does this training happen? It happens primarily within your home. And in particular, it happens during your times of family worship. Because the family worship really becomes the training ground. It's the time where you communicate to your children, these are the expectations. You explain what is required. You remind them of the consequences of not following through with that. You're a patient. You're realistic. You start small and you build gradually over time the capacity to be able to sit quietly for a period of time. And what this is really establishing is that it's establishing something within the home which then carries over and is transferred into Sunday at church. Because now, this is where the whole church as a whole, we need to think clearly about this. At church as a whole, we need to think clearly about this when it comes to transitioning in the younger ones to our Sunday service. Because if we're not careful, we can begin to view children as merely a distraction. We can begin to view children as a distraction rather than seeing the bigger picture that's actually taking place as we are doing so. We hear that little cry, we hear that little child shuffle, and it's all too easy to think to ourselves, would someone please remove this child from the service so that my weekly sermon isn't interrupted? But if we find ourselves thinking that way, we need to catch ourselves. We need to remember this is not an interruption to the mission of Christ. This is the mission of Christ. The mission of Christ is taking place right now as these faithful parents are helping to bring their children into the life of the church. Great commission work is happening as parents are transitioning their children in. In fact, the reason we should include children in our worship gatherings is because, in case you're wondering, this is the only, and I'll emphasize the word only, pattern that we have within the scriptures. The idea of segregating or removing a young child from the worship gathering until a certain age, that is a complete foreign concept when it comes to scripture. We include the younger ones in our corporate worship because the Bible includes younger ones in the worship. And the hope is that by God's grace, God's word would convert their souls, that they would come to a saving faith in Christ. Now, parents, young kids, this does not give you a license to just say, cool, I'll just let them go for it, for the whole, great commission work. No. Parents have to be mindful on Sunday mornings that Sunday mornings are not the primary training ground for training their children. Training is to take place within their home throughout the week. And so what this means practically is that if a child's capacity to sit still on a Sunday morning has gone beyond the time frame that you have already trained them for in your home during the week, and if you're getting to a point in the service where your child is clearly now beyond the point of actually listening to your gentle reminders, of course, remove them from the service. Have them sit outside the service, maybe where you can still hear, but knowing that you're going to have another shot next Sunday and the Sunday after that and the Sunday after that as well. And in the meantime, as young parents, as helping to establish their children into the local church, well, we as the older ones, we've got to be careful that we are supportive of those little baby sounds, that we are encouraging towards those parents, recognizing that if they are training their children, it may take a little while sometimes. This is actually great commission work and we don't want to stand in the way. A second way, that's the first way. The first way is to get them to sit still. A second way that we can prepare our children is by engaging with the sermon both before and after the service. What do I mean? Well, find out what's being preached. I'm sure that Nick would know sometime before Sunday what he's going to preach on, or whoever else might be preaching. Find out what the passage is that's going to be preached and read it out loud with your family ahead of time. Discuss it simply. Maybe incorporate it into one of your times of family worship throughout the week. And what this does is that it really helps to familiarize your children with the text. It helps them to better engage with what it is that they're hearing on Sunday. Because when the sermon is preached on a Sunday, there are going to be some ideas that they're already familiar with. Not just ideas that they're hearing for the very first time. And of course, it's going to be building on that. And yet, leading up to that point, if they're familiar, there's going to be a little bit more engagement. Now, of course, after the service, bring it up again. Talk about what was preached. Apply what is preached. In fact, even when your children are so young that they may have missed some, or if not all, of what was talked about, your children can still benefit from it by simply setting an expectation ahead of time. If you set an expectation as a parent, after the service today, I want each one of you to tell me one thing that stood out to you. Now, some of the younger kids are going to pick up pretty quickly that if you say God, Jesus, you're probably going to, you know, get it right most of the time. But set the expectation. What stood out to you? It doesn't have to be perfect, but it does help to train attentiveness, interacting with the sermon text before and after the service. A third way that we can help our children to prepare is by familiarizing our children with the songs of worship that we sing. I mean, think about it. If they know the tunes, if they recognize the words, they're going to be far more likely to engage on a Sunday morning. If it's possible, find out ahead of time what songs are going to be sung and try to build that into your week. Use those songs in your time of family worship throughout the week. I mean, if you can't hold a note, it's okay. You've got YouTube, you've got Spotify. Have a playlist during the week as in the kitchen, perhaps running with the songs that are going to be sung on a Sunday morning, even on the way to church. You could, after you've warned them, you better not disobey. You better keep... No, we don't do that, do we? You better keep quiet. And then after that, put on the playlist. And have those songs just sort of playing in the background as they're leading, coming into it. Again, the goal is simple. We're trying to connect what's happening in the home with what's happening in the church. A fourth way that we can help to prepare our children is helping our children to understand the worship service itself. You see, the things that we do on a Sunday morning as part of our worship services, sometimes they can be assumed. Sometimes they can almost be overlooked that our children understand what's actually taking place when in fact they don't. And so as parents, we can help with that. We can help our children by stepping them through not just what is happening on a Sunday, but why it's happening, why it matters, and how it is that they can take part. I mean, speak to them about the call of worship. Child, this is God now calling his people to come before him. Speak to them about the importance of singing. We are praising, singing truths to this God who is present among us. Talk to them about the importance of corporate prayer. Bringing collectively requests, petitions, praise to the throne room of God. God is present among his people right now. This is not a time for scrolling on phones. This is not a time for looking around at everyone else. Explain to them the importance of the sermon, that this is where we're going to be hearing from God through his word. Explain to them the importance of the Lord's Supper, so that even if your children are not yet baptized and not partaking in the elements themselves, you can let them know you can still participate fully in a meaningful kind of way, right there in your seat, because you can think. You can reflect on. You yourself can remember. It's as easy as just leaning over quietly during a time of the Lord's Supper and saying to your child, this is the time to remember what Jesus has done for us. This represents his body. This represents his blood. And in all this, we're helping our children not just to attend, but we're also helping them to engage. The goal is not just bringing our children so they are present in the local church, but they're learning how to worship our great and good God. Well, that was the first subpoint. You know, we talked about preparation. Now, we're going to move finally now. We're bringing this thing to a close. We're going to move now to participation. From preparation to participation. Because the aim, again, is not just that our children will be prepared for church, but the aim is also that they will be meaningfully involved in the life of the church. And I don't know how to say this. There are 5 points under this. Just 5 things I want to touch. Redemption Church. We shouldn't invite them next time. Okay, so under participation, just very briefly, asking the question, how, what areas can we be thinking about when we think about participation in terms of our children within our local church? The first area of participation is fellowship. It's fellowship. Again, we need to give space for relationships to form. That means we don't just quickly, immediately run off after the service. We don't jam up our schedule, so at least as soon as we tick off the box for church, then we're off to that next extracurricular activity. But instead, we linger. We stick around. We encourage and allow for conversations to happen, for connections to deepen. And of course, this doesn't just limit to Sunday. This goes right throughout the whole week in terms of whatever's happening within the church. Bible studies, prayer meetings, gatherings where relationships are being formed. Where possible, bring your children with you everywhere that you go so that they can see, so that they can experience what church life actually looks like. But in addition to fellowship, number two, and the second area of participation would be service. I mean, think about ways that your children can participate actively within the life of the church. They're serving, not just as spectators. Where possible, have them serve alongside you. Let them be prepared and see your example. Let them see a heart of servitude in you so that, God willing, that same heart of servitude may be formed in them. And so, parents, ask yourself the question, where are the opportunities that my children can become actively involved within my local church? And I'll tell you that when you start looking, you'll just realize just how many opportunities there are. If you're on door greeting, have your child standing right next door to you, helping you to hand out the bulletins. If you're on morning tea, have them right there assisting you, offering the cups and taking up and cleaning up after the morning tea. If there's cleaning to be done, maybe vacuuming, whether it's tidying up the church, maybe it's setting things up in the morning, give them opportunity. If there's sound and multimedia ministries that are there, have them come alongside you as a 2IC, helping them to learn the ropes. Look, these are small things, but they are meaningful. In addition to service, a third way of participation is hospitality. In other words, open up your home to others within the church and involve your children in that process. Have them prepare. Have them help you serve. Have them help you to clean up afterwards. And when you're there speaking to someone else, don't just push them off to the side the whole time. Sure, they want to go and have some time for fun with their friends and with others as well, but at least from time to time, make sure that they're actually involved to some extent within the conversation. Where they're hearing conversations being had through the lens of a biblical worldview. Even take it a step further, ask your guests certain questions that you know that will be particularly relevant and helpful to your own children. Let them see fellowship close up. Let them see relationships being built. Let hospitality become a normal part of what life is. In addition to hospitality, a fourth area of participation is prayer. Pray for the needs of the church within your home. Prayer for church members, it can happen during your times of family worship. There might be a list of prayer requests that's been circled around the church. There may just be needs that you remember yourself, that you formulate your own list. You see, helping your children to become aware of the needs of others, it gets them thinking outwardly. It's going to grow in them compassion And it's going to build into them a sense of responsibility. They learn to care for others because we are bringing the needs of others into our homes and bringing them before the Lord. Which leads us to a fifth area of participation. This is evangelism and outreach. Can you bring children on evangelism and outreach? Sure you can. I used to have a little backpack. I used to have kids. I remember just as young as my first one would have been a year and a half. Wasn't probably not even walking. Well, she should have been walking at a year and a half. Anyway, very young, in a backpack while I'm there handing out tracts, at a flip chart, having gospel conversations. Bring your children with you. You know what? A person might turn away that gospel tract from you, but I tell you what, when you have a little child there, the little smile on that face, here you go, and there they are. It's a little bit harder. Let them see what it looks like to share the gospel with other people. Expose to them both sides. Help them to make sense of this is what happens when a person responds positively to the gospel. This is someone when they respond negatively to the gospel. Help them to process that. Help them to rightly think about that. Help them to see what's actually at stake with this person either accepting or rejecting that which we are talking about. And in the meantime, guess what you're doing? You're helping them to hear the gospel being talked about and shared and applied over and over and over again. Don't you think that God can't use even that to help bring about salvation in their own lives? Well, of course, plenty of other ways that we can both prepare and participate, but I do hope this is at least a starting place for us to really stimulate thought about how we prepare our children, how we help them to participate. And so in closing, let me just say this. I know there's been a lot of points, a lot of sub-points. I don't think I've had any sub-points yet. But anyway, let us just stick with this. As parents, may we not underestimate or overlook the incredible opportunity that God has given to us in the local church. To see our children brought to Christ, to see our children built up in Christ. But may God give us wisdom. May he help us to reclaim the centrality of the local church and helping to raise our children. Let us pray. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you that you have not left us alone to raise our children on our own, but that you have given us the gift of the local church. Help us to see it rightly. Give us wisdom as parents to lead our families in a way that honors you, that builds our lives and the lives of our families around what truly matters. We ask that through your word, through your people, by your grace, that you would be at work in our children's hearts and that you would draw them ever closer to Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.